Okie dokie, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be good students of this book, and Lord, that song, the last song we sang, got some convicting words in there about asking for grief and pain, just so we'd love you more, and though the old flesh don't like to hear that, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. And I pray you'd help us to understand your words and know how to apply them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 72 is the last psalm of what sometimes is called Book 2 of the Psalms. And it ends with amen and amen. And some folks will divide the psalms in five different little categories. And you can see in front of Psalm 73, it says Book 3. And so it's kind of like categorized. Psalm 72, historically, was a psalm that David wrote for Solomon. And you can see what he's praying for. But doctrinally, Solomon in this psalm is a portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, doctrinally speaking, this is a psalm about the millennium, when Jesus Christ is the king on earth. Okay, historically, it's about Solomon. In Solomon's early reign, he portrays a type of Jesus Christ, but in his latter reign, he portrays a type of the Antichrist, the same person. He switches from Christ to the Antichrist in typology. In the 1 year, he brought in 666 talents of gold. That was his annual gold income, 666 talents. Talents, about 100 pounds, so do the math, and you can see it's up there. Okay, and so that's what he brought in 1 year, and that's not even counting the silver. It says the silver was like, you know, water in the streets. It had so much of it. Okay, so Psalm 72, doctrine, we'll look at it that way more than anything because that's the best way to look at it. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Okay, historically, that's Solomon, the king's son. Okay, doctrinally, that'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. We'll see a repeating of the word poor, verse 4, and then it'll be synonymous with the word needy. We'll see that a couple more times also. The poor and needy. During the tribulation time period, a person must be poor and needy in order to be righteous. No rich folks in the tribulation are right with God. None whatsoever. Can't be. It is impossible to be. Because the only way they get riches, they took the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? And so that's what the book of James is written about, where everybody who's wealthy in the book of James is damned to hell. Every one of them. Okay? In the church time period, a person could have wealth, but yet then they're told, given fair warning in 1 Timothy 6. But in the tribulation time period, you got to be poor and needy in order to be right with God. And so the poor and needy will be mentioned in throughout this psalm, but in verse 2, he shall judge thy people with righteousness and the poor with judgment. Okay, right before the Lord comes back, or right, I should say, right after he comes back, one of the first things he sets up is called the judgment of the nations, mentioned in Matthew 25, and he judges the people on earth, how they treated righteous people during the tribulation time period. If they tried to help them out, did the best they could to try to help them out, then they would get the opportunity to go into the millennium and live during the thousand-year reign of Christ. If they took advantage of them, if they took of their spoils, took of their possessions, ratted on them, narked on them, you know, or something like that, then they were thrown into hell. Okay? And so that the condition is, did Were they at least concerned for the righteous in the tribulation when they were arrested, thrown in jail, or whatnot? Okay, and that's the judgment he's referring to. Verse 3, the mountains shall bring peace. Mountains of Jerusalem, probably, shall bring peace to the people. World peace will only take place when Jesus Christ is on earth. The United Nations has done a bum job. Okay, there's been more wars in world history since the United Nations came into being. And there's two more world wars on the docket. Okay, we've had two already. We got two more to go. Actually, three if you throw in Revelation chapter 20 in there. Okay, this one's a mountain shall bring peace, world peace, Jerusalem by, to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. Okay, that's pure religion, James 1:27. And shall break in pieces the oppressor. Okay, in this context, the oppressor will be the Antichrist. Okay, and there is nobody that faces more oppression as a race of people than the Jews. The blacks in our country are screaming and crying and pouting and whining about getting their way. They're a bunch of thin-skinned little sissies. They haven't faced oppression not like the Jews. And they're still screaming about slavery. Man, that's so long ago, it's pitiful. Okay, you can have a Negro college fund, but you can't have a white college fund. Okay, and people say now Obama's president, you know, America's all multicultural. You're going to see racial hatred increase because this clown's in the White House. And who's going to promote it? Those clowns are going to promote it. They're an angry group of people, his wife and him. Okay, and so the biggest promoter of race hatred is the government and the news media. That's the biggest promoters, those two things. Okay, generally speaking, if people voluntarily want to unite together, that's fine, that's freedom. The greatest uniter of the races is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, when you have believers, black and white, to get together under the name of Jesus Christ, they can get along. You see, but when you talk about race and all this stuff, who, the Attorney General just said Americans are a bunch of cowards about race. Now, he's a coward himself. Okay, and when you get talking about these things and the difference between the races, you are automatically going to be branded racist. And whenever people brand me a racist, which they do, and I've been told that time and time again, I say, why don't you come with me when I go hug the black men down at Danville Prison? Preach to those black fellas. Give them a big hug. Not one, but dozens of them. One more black people of Christ than they ever have. Okay, these people always scream about that stuff. Okay, and besides, I thought we're supposed to be colorblind. We don't have a black president, do we? I'm colorblind. Not black, not white, not pink, not purple. You know, they're always the ones bringing it up. No race of people has faced more oppression than the Jewish people. Nobody has. Not the Dutch, not the German, not the Russian. Throughout history, the Jewish people has faced oppression more than any race of people. Why is that? About 2,000 years ago, they said about the Lord Jesus Christ, let his blood be upon us and our children. And God said, okay. And you just read about the Jewish oppression throughout history. Okay, and so that's what oppression is about. And the Antichrist is going to make Hitler look like a Sunday school picnic. They're going to face oppression like no nation has ever faced it. Okay, verse 5, it says, they shall fear thee, this king, they, the people, shall fear thee, the king, as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations. Okay, now right there, you could tell that jumps clearly off of the historic idea of Solomon and goes right into the doctrinal reference to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Okay, if you would, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, being raised in a farm and in a country, we appreciate rain. City folk, they don't like it. When I was growing up, we watched news broadcasts. They said it's going to be a nice, sunny, good day tomorrow. And we'd say, oh, that's a bad day. Why? You want rain for the crops to grow. That thunderstorm last night sounded good. Or the other night. Was it Tuesday night? That thunderstorm. Man, I'd like to hear that thunder. Okay, but that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is like, and that's what the Word of God is like. Deuteronomy chapter 32. These are the lyrics of the Song of Moses. Verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill up as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. That's what the Word of God is like. It's like fresh rain. When we moved to Colorado, Colorado Springs, I noticed all these city people out there with their sprinkler, and, you know, watering the grass, and some of them got automatic sprinklers to turn on and all that stuff. Being raised, you know, in Indiana, I ain't gonna water the dumb grass. It wasn't long. It was brown as could be. It'd burn up out there. So then you see me out there with a stinking hose watering the dumb grass. Okay, but you can water that grass and put on some fertilizer maybe from a place, but nothing made that grass look as good as natural rain coming down. With the nitrogen and the peroxide that's in it and everything, there's nothing that makes that grass look better than the rain that God gives. And the lightning and everything that comes with it. Okay, Psalm 72, verse 6, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in his days shall the righteous flourish. Boy, that's a blessing to see. In his days shall the righteous flourish. Who flourishes today? Bankers, lawyers, government guys who steal it from the people. You go to Muslim culture, who flourishes? Definitely not Christians. They die. They get thrown in jail. Going to Chinese or communist cultures, who flourishes? It's definitely not the righteous. Definitely not the righteous. There's going to be a day when living righteously, a person will flourish, and of course that will be during the millennium. In his day shall the righteous flourish. An abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. Peace on earth. Isaiah 65, verse 17 to 25 gives more information about that. This is the greatest doctrine of the Bible, was the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worldwide peace, people will be able to keep what they have earned. Nobody's going to tax it from them, take it from them, hoodwink them to get it from them. The righteous are going to flourish. Verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. He's going to run the entire world. Now, you can be a part of that. You could serve with him. Okay, if you're sanctified, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be a part of that program and be able to serve with him. Verse 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. That amazes me. How can he have enemies during this time period? Armageddon beats him by the word of his mouth, sets up world peace, and he's going to have enemies. He's going to make them lick the dust. What type of enemies? Okay, the key word is wilderness. In the wilderness. Okay, where is that in the wilderness? I have in the center margin letter Q, and you got about five references. In the wilderness. That's where the wandering of the wilderness is, was back in those days. Where is that today? Saudi Arabia? Egypt? All that area. All Muslim territory today. Edomites, Ishmaelites, those people are going to be the enemies of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before them. And his enemies shall lick the dust. The enemies, the religious enemies, will be the Muslims. And he's going to make sure that they get this as far as the Holy One of Israel goes. Okay, verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Okay, the typology of this is the queen of Sheba brought them to Solomon, but these are other kings from other dignitaries who will bring these gifts to Jesus Christ. Verse 11, yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. That's the time, that's the way it should be. Glory to God on highest and peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It won't happen until the nations bring glory to God in highest. What kings is he talking about? I mean, he's taken down all the kings. He's taken up the world kingdoms. He's controlling everything. I don't know if some guy's going to probably try to raise up and try to get a little kingdom under himself, as people do. Okay, but they're going to be under Jesus Christ. Verse 12, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Okay, there it is, poor and needy, poor and needy. He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Okay, the deceit and the violent man, the violence that will take place during the tribulation time period will be the worst known in mankind. It's going to be the worst. It's going to be so bad the Lord says, I'm going to even shorten the daytime. Now, this is building up more and more. And again, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was it like in the days of Noah? Violence filled the earth. Violence from who or what? Genesis 6, verse 4, from giants. The giants were the men of renown. The giants were the kings on earth. Large beings. 12 foot, 16 foot, 18 foot, as high as 24 footers. There's been archaeology finding large beings this tall. Okay, and it's funny, there's a guy that was in Afghanistan, and he was a soldier, he's flying an airplane, and he was just talking about them fighting one about 12 foot tall coming out of the caves of Afghanistan. And it's like they've got these things, and this one they actually killed and then brought him over to the States, and he noticed that he had six fingers on each hand. If you want to hear the testimony, just type in a guy named Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle, you can get off the internet. And type in giants and Steve Quayle, you can probably hear the interview. And it's one of the pilots on the plane that flew him over. And it's funny, you know, people called in, was making sure that the guy wasn't a spoof, you know, ask him what, you know, military branch and all this stuff. And he answered, you know, best he could without letting his name out. Okay, but if that took place back then, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to take place again. And it's, you know, it's just right, you know, things are just gearing up, and these things are, man, you talk about violence, you talk about killing. It's talked about this thing was, you know, chewing on the soldiers after they killed them. You know, and all this stuff goes back to those days, and you've got throughout history, Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, the big bad giant. The devil has kept this stuff alive. And it's so far out, you know, that it's just wild stuff. But you get on that guy's website, you can see a lot of pictures, a lot of evidence of it. And if it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. In Daniel chapter 2, it talks about the different beast there, that head of gold, chest of silver, okay, and so forth. The ten toes in that beast is a cross between iron and clay. And the iron and clay is a cross between man and aliens, or angels, fallen angels. It's called they. Okay, and those will be the kings in the tribulation time period. Now, most of us have heard about Charlemagne throughout history. Most historians will just say he was a towering figure. He was a giant. He's a big dude. Okay, and so these things are coming out more and more. Military is afraid of these things, that they don't know what to do with them, and so that's why they brought this thing from over there and brought it to Ohio and are investigating it. And that's not the only place. And so you can get on there and type in giants, you can see lots of much information about these things, but that's where the violence is coming from. Of course, you've got the attitude of the Muslims, where they'd soon cut your head off than anything. Okay, and so the violence there, but notice in the second half of verse 14, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. That is the shedding of the blood of the righteous people in the tribulation, and the Lord says, precious is the death in the sight of the Lord. The death is precious to the Lord of his saints. And that blood is precious blood. It's being shed for Jesus Christ. Why? Because they shed his blood. Okay, and so the Lord is going to give them the grace to endure these things. And then the Jews that die in the tribulation by beheading are going to get resurrected at the end of the tribulation. And you see this, and precious shall their blood be in his sight, and he shall live. And to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. So there's a resurrection at the end of the tribulation. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. Okay, he shall be praised, the Lord Jesus. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. That don't happen today. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. And Lebanon is known for their cedar trees. And they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever, the name of Jesus Christ. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. That's the name of Jesus Christ, and his kingdom is not going to have an end. Verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, and notice how specific he is. The God of Israel. He's letting the Arabs know. He's letting the Ishmaelites know. He's letting the Edomites know that I am the God of Israel. Not the God of the United States. Not the God of France. Definitely not the God of Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Egypt, Syria. He is the God of Israel. And he is rubbing it right in their face. It's going to stay that way. Even though they want to blow him off the map, God says, I am the God of Israel. Verse 18, who only doeth wondrous things. Allah is a failure. Allah is a loser. Allah is another name for the moon god. He's a fake. He's a fraud. He's a devil. Okay, verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, the name of Jesus Christ, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. That is mentioned two other times in Isaiah 11 and Habakkuk 2, where he says that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. The sooner the better, but that's when it's going to happen. It's going to happen someday, shortly. Sooner the better, though. And then verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So he's praying for Solomon, parents praying for children. Okay, but then when you have amen and amen at the end of verse 19, that closes out that second section called book 2. So now we start the third section, book 3, and you have a psalm of Asaph. You have 11 of them, I think, in a row here by this fella. He was a singer and a psalm writer under the reign of David. You can find them back in 1 Chronicles 15, 16, 17, down in that range. So he was a songwriter. In his songs, he gave doctrine, and in his songs, his spiritual songs, he gave spiritual information to encourage people or to challenge people. In this song in particular, in verse 3, he warned about envy. About the sin of envy. Okay, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Okay, now the clean heart is mentioned back in Psalm 24. How to have a clean heart. And then verse 2 says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, that's probably the biggest thing, one of the biggest things you got to overcome in this country, especially young people. You sit there and watch a movie, you see Hollywood, you see they got wealth, you see they got fame and fortune, and most of them are nothing but a bunch of perverts. But you don't see that on the screen. Sometimes you do. When I was a kid growing up, you knew the good guys from the bad guys. The good guys always won, the guy with the white hat, and the bad guy, the guy with the black hat, always lost. Nowadays, you can't tell them apart, and often the bad guy wins. And what that does, it causes people to watch this stuff, and they think that that's a reality. And they don't realize that these people in Hollywood are nothing but a bunch of self-centered, spoiled brats. You wouldn't want to be around these people for 10 minutes. They'd sell their own mother out for a nickel. You say, who? Any of these people. You know, Britney Spears, people like that. They'd sell their own mother out. These people on People magazine. People, I can't imagine looking at that stuff, just trash. But those people in that magazine, they'll dump this woman for this one, they'll dump this woman for a man. Soon they'll be going for animals. I mean, their life is, you know, here they have a, you know, in the sitcoms they'll have a problem started and a problem solved in 25 minutes. I wish life was like that, but it's never like that. It's not reality. You need to realize, okay, it's for entertainment, you know, maybe you can get a kick out of it. But these people are not dealing with reality, okay? And these people, in order to get their acting positions, often compromise to get there. And when I talk about compromise, I'm talking about doing perverse things. A bunch of perverts, okay? But yet when people see that, you see these professional athletes, you don't know what they're like in real life. Okay, but, you know, granted, you know, I like watching professional sports too, but these people in real life are low-life scum. A lot of them are. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. People like Wilt Chamberlain boast of laying down with 20,000 women. Okay, these guys are self-centered. They think they're gods. They get paid millions of bucks. After they're done with their career, they got nothing left. You see? And the thing is, it's very easy to be envious of that because it makes them look like they're happy. It makes them look like they're on top of the world and all that stuff. But that's not reality. You see? The rich and famous. That is not reality. Television is nothing but one excitement to another excitement to another excitement. You know, the Japanese say American television is bang, bang, and kiss, kiss. And that's what they think life is. Life is sag, bag, and drag. That's what it is. Hollywood portrays, the love of Hollywood is lust. Can't help myself. You know, and they'll leave this one for this one, for this one, this one. And it's very easy to envy those people. But you see, when you look at reality and give it some time, I'm old enough, you know. Some of these people, it just seems like they get older and without, you know, just amazing how fast they go. But I've kept track of one of these famous people because she was born on the exact same day I was, and she's still the same age. I was surprised. But that's JFK's daughter, Caroline. Same day. You know, ain't that a wonderful thing, huh? She's trying to use her name to get a Senate seat. You see? I'd hate to be in a Kennedy family. I got a book called The Kennedy Curse. Made their money off booze. Out in Colorado was the Coors family. Made a lot of money off booze. And you talk about a family, you know, it's in a mess. The Kennedy clan, you know, it's in a mess. They better enjoy it while they got it, because hell's hot and hell's forever. But it's very easy to see the advertisement, you know, to see the constant media barrage trying to make this guy to be a god and make this person to be, you know, really bad. You know, and you tend to envy the attention of these people. They can have it. They can have it all they want. And so he says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Yeah, they got money. Yeah, the bankers got money they created out of thin air. But if their loss is a goose in a horse race, it isn't going to help them at all. Okay, verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. That's what it looks like. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. That's what it appears. But they are. Well, Mr. Superman sure went down quick, didn't he? Christopher Reeves, that guy. It doesn't take God much to humble a person. You see, if Superman, you know, one movie and next time he's down in a wheelchair. You see, and the Lord does that to some. To some, he lets them live a long life like George Burns. You see, and this is what Job was talking about. The Job and those guys were hassling about these things. The rich, wicked men can live old. They can be prosperous. And they die and go to hell. Okay, verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men. Verse 6, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish as far as earthly pleasure goes. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Okay, their tongue walking through the earth, that's like the radio broadcast as it goes throughout. I mean, you can't see the internet anywhere. You see Obama, Obama, and Obama this, and Obama that. It's all you see, Obama this. You see, and you get sick of it. Fed up with it. But this is the kind of mindset these people have. And they better enjoy it. Not going to last long. Okay, verse 10. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Okay, this full cup is a cup of God's wrath. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Why, of course. When you see the Most High, that's usually a reference to a Gentile God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. This is how a person can feel. You can see a young couple is trying to live for the Lord, and maybe can't have children. And then you see some woman, like she's a rabbit. Got 10 kids from 5 different men. And then you got a couple that loves the Lord, would bring the child up in a nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they don't got anything. And the Lord allows that to happen. People say, what's the use? What's the use? Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You see, a lot of times we get thinking about these things, and sometimes it'll really annoy us, and we'll get upset about it. But you think about the end. You think about the end, and you find out that it's better to serve God. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. All unsaved people are one heartbeat from hell. I mean, they are in slippery roads. Verse 19, how are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Okay, that's this famous image that's going to be set up. The devil's always got some type of an image. Okay, throughout history, probably the universal image is the obelisk or the Washington Monument, phallic symbol. That's pretty universal throughout the world. The all-seeing eye is another one. The eye that you see on CBS, that's the eye. The eye you see in the back of the dollar bill, in the pyramid, that's the eye, the all-seeing eye of Horus. That's the eye that the Hindu will put right here. You see, Bogdan was telling me, what kind of an Arab you got, a push or a pull Arab? If you got the dot, that's a push Arab. You push the button, and if it's a pull, you got the turban. You start them up like that. So you got a push and pull start. Different types of Arabs. Oh, that was pretty nifty. Okay, verse 21, he says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Okay, the word reins and heart kind of synonymous here. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. So he's realizing, okay, I shouldn't have been envious. I know in the latter end, I know what's going to happen to him. I shouldn't have got like that. It's all just facade anyway. And man, I feel really dumb. I got hoodwinked by that. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. There's the benefit of living right. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So the contrast is between the good and evil, the world famous, the ones who are famous in heaven. Okay, and so in this contrast, we can see from this perspective, you can see the media and everything, and a person can easily fall into the trap of envying these people when there's no need to envy them, because what do they got? Fame and fortune for a few short years. And what do we got? What does a believer got? Jesus Christ for eternity. Okay, so that's Psalm 73. We've got two of them covered there. Any questions or comments what we covered?